I pray, God, that as we get into your word this morning, that your word would get into us. I pray, Lord, that we would be not just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your presence would fill us and fill this house. We thank you for that. We thank you for that today. Lord, I know this morning's been a little bit different. We miss Pastor Zach this morning. But Lord, we thank you that you are in this house. We thank you, Lord, that you meet us, that you inhabit the praise of your people, even when that praise is led by a faulty voice like mine. We thank you today, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give Lord a hand clap of praise in this house? Thank you. Could you give me my glasses? Amen. You may be seated as we dig into the word. Band, you guys did a great job considering we haven't practiced until that moment. You guys are awesome. So good. This morning we're going to continue this field idea. And I'm not sure where that buzzing's coming from, but it could be my guitar buzzing. We are a society. We're a society built on things that leave us feeling full, but never fulfilled. That leaves us stuffed, but not satisfied. We want meaning. We want purpose. We want connection. We want to be seen. We want to be known. We want to be loved. We want something that matters. We want to be someone that matters. We want to not just survive. We want to be more than a biological computer. We want to be fully alive. And if you could just mute everything except me. Y'all might not even be hearing it, but whether or not we realize it, the desire to be filled is in our DNA. Because our Creator created us to be image bearers of the Creator. Thank you, brother. According to Wesley, we image God in three ways, right? Natural image, that is our will, our ability to have freedom, to have self-determination. We image God in our immortality, that we are created to live forever. Not that we are eternal, but we are immortal. We're created to live forever. We had a beginning. The eternal doesn't have a beginning, but the immortal has a beginning. We were created to live forever. We were created with a conscience, with a reason, with ability to think, to understand, to reflect. After the fall in the garden, all of this was misdirected. It was broken. We also have what Wesley calls a political image. That in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, we were given a creative mandate to rule, to subdue, to fill the earth. We were given dominion. We were given responsibility to rule, to be creative and productive, and to have labor. Again, in the fall, this was corrupted. And so now we long for power to rule instead of power to serve. We also have what's called a moral image. That we were created with a moral image to the love of God, the love of neighbor, to have holiness in our heart and holiness in our life, to have right affections and right intentions. But in the fall, this wasn't just broken, it was lost. Our affections are disordered. Our love is selfish. Our morality is immoral. And our heart is sinful and deceitful. Yet we were created for more than that. We were created for what we lost. We were created for what truly satisfies. C.S. Lewis put it like this. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." He also says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We're far too easily pleased. Our social media feeds are filled with fake news and false witness and flirtatious algorithms. Our calendars are filled with busyness, business, and ball games. Our culture is filled with chaos, crisis, and confusion. Our churches are filled with showmanship, self-help, and selfish ambition. Our homes are filled with toys, tantrums, and turbulence. Our politics are filled with malice, money, and might makes right mentality. Our entertainment is filled with immodesty, impropriety, and immorality. Our communities are filled with violence, vice, and vagabonds. Our lives are filled with fear, frenzy, and influencers. But we were created to be filled with more. We believe in the full gospel, that Jesus is Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, Redeemer, Holy Spirit Baptizer, soon coming King. But we live in a world that the Apostle Paul says is filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness, full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice, gossips. But he tells us in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. So what we are filled with and what we are filled by is seen in the fruit we are filled with. An orange tree is filled with oranges. Right? The seed of an orange tree contains all that is necessary for that tree to produce oranges. The tree is filled with the seed of the orange so that it bears much oranges. Our lives are filled with seed. The disciple of the Lord, the apostle Peter, puts it like this in 1 Peter 1:23. He says, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. What does it mean? In Christ Jesus, the living and the enduring Word of God has been planted in the soil of your heart, and you have been born again. Peter gets this image of the seed from none other than Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the meaning of the parable is this, Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. The seed along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And the seed of the rock. The seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. The seed that fell among the thorns, those are the ones who, when they have heard, they go on their way and are choked with worry, riches and pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. But the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it by enduring, produce fruit. The seed of the word has been scattered. And those who allow it to take root and bear fruit will experience the fullness of salvation. The Spirit fills us. The imperishable seed of the Word bears fruit in our lives because we have been born of the Spirit. And one of the psalmist says that we are called trees planted by living waters. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Jesus says in John 7, but we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he's from. And he was teaching in the temple. He says, you know where I'm from. I have testified of myself. And the Spirit fills the believers. The Spirit fills us. Listen, like an orange tree produces oranges, the tree planted from the seed of the Word, planted by the living water of the Spirit, I'll make sure we all get this. The tree planted from the seed of the Word, planted by the living water of the Spirit, produces the fruit of the Spirit because it gets its roots from the Word and its nourishment from the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Some commentators have pointed out that this is the way the fruit of the Spirit is produced. It's produced, first of all, by love. And as love bears fruit, then joy begins to bear fruit. And then peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And you can't have any of the other fruit unless you have love working in you by the Spirit. We were created to be filled as we are planted. We were created to be filled by the one who planted the garden in Eden. The one who descended from heaven to walk in that garden with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. The one who descended from heaven, walked with humanity, was crucified and placed in a garden tomb, but was raised to life on the third day, ascended into heaven so that we could walk again with God, reconciled to God by Jesus, adopted by God through the Spirit. According to Paul, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, the one who descended in the garden and into the grave is also the one who ascended far above the heavens to fill all things. Christ will fill all things. The whole earth will be filled with his glory. Even now we are filled with and filled by the Spirit so that Christ may fill all things in our lives. He wants to fill all things in your life. From creation, the idea of fullness unfolds within the Scripture. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. From our first parents' charge to fill the earth with humanity, but also to fill humanity, to fill the earth with justice and righteousness. To Israel filling the promised land. To the Holy Spirit filling the temple workers and the temple prophets and even the temple. In the New Testament, again, the Gospel of Luke, the Spirit fills John the Baptizer. Even before his birth, his mother Elizabeth is filled with when the prenatal Jesus enters her presence in the womb of Mary. And at John's birth, his father Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit. The child Jesus is filled with the Spirit and grows in wisdom and grace. Luke continues this narrative into Acts, where on Pentecost the Holy Spirit is poured out in the upper room and fills the 120 that are gathered there. Peter is filled with the Spirit to preach, and the believers in Jerusalem are filled with the Spirit during a prayer meeting. Stephen is a man full of the Spirit. Saul's conversion prays for him to be filled with the Spirit. Barnabas is recognized as a man full of the Spirit. And as we move into the epistles, we continue to see the Spirit filling the pages and the people. Paul prays that the Spirit would fill the church. In the book of Revelation, one way or another, it seems all are destined for divine fullness, either through the fullness of God's divine judgment or the fullness of God's divine glory. According to Ritchie, in his book, Essential Elements of Pentecost Theology, Church, the prophets foretell of eschaton, where the coming of Christ and the coming of God's ultimate purpose of filling the earth with the kingdom of God is fulfilled. In Revelation, we see the dwelling of God is with man, and the fullness of the kingdom of our God and our Christ has come. But right now, we live here. But right now, we can be filled. Right now, we can be filled with the Spirit. Right now, we can walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Here's what I believe this morning. God wants you to be filled and to overflow. God wants you to be filled and to overflow. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor, say overflow. What are we going to be filled with? He says, now may the God of hope fill you with what? What's it say? Joy and peace. It's right there. Joy and peace. He wants us to be filled with joy and peace. Why is this the prayer Paul prays over the church in Rome? Because God knows, and Paul knows, that those are two areas that the enemy attacks most often. When we lose our joy, we just go through the motions. When we lose our joy, we fake life. We seek temporary pleasure to mask our sorrow. We shop or we smoke or we sex. We look for something to make us happy. When we lose joy, we don't think about that the wilderness is worth it. When we lose joy, we don't think that the hard season is worth it. When we lose joy, we become cynical and bitter. When it happens to the believer, often we stop serving, or we look for another church, or we just keep going, joyless, getting more and more bitter, and we start to complain and fault find. The answer isn't to stop serving. The answer isn't to find another church. The answer isn't to fake it till you make it. The answer is being filled afresh and anew by the Spirit of God, who gives joy as a fruit of the spiritual tree. The answer is to pray in the Spirit with all types of prayers. The answer is to open your Bible. The answer is to call on the elders of the church and be anointed with oil. The answer is to encourage yourself in the Lord, to stir up the gift that is within you. Like the psalmist himself said, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God." If your joy is determined by your circumstances, then your joy isn't in the Lord. So Paul prayed, God fill them with your joy. But what about peace? Overflow of peace. What about peace? Again, the enemy knows that if you can become overwhelmed by the chaos of the world, you'll be tempted to take your eyes off of Jesus and set your focus on the storm instead of on the one who walks on the waves. You'll begin to succumb to the storm, and every rain cloud will appear bigger than the last one. Every crash of thunder will seem louder than the last one. The darkness will feel stronger than the light. But hear me, church. Let your prayer to be to God be like David in Psalm 139, verse 12. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. No matter how dark, church, God is present. No matter how chaotic, the Spirit still hovers over the waters. No matter how troubled, the peace speaker still calls your name, still reaches into the sea, grabs your hand, pulls you back up so that you can walk on the waves alongside of your master. Paul prays you'd be filled with peace. Yeah, filled with joy and peace. Why? So that we can overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. The enemy wants you hopeless because then you're defeated. And when you're hopeless, it's not only you, but you don't offer hope to others either. When you are overcome with hopelessness, you pull others right into your valley of despair with you. Atreyu is trying to pull the horse, but the horse won't budge. Hopeless. Paul wants you to overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. You know what that tells me? It tells me that hope isn't something you can manufacture on your own. The fruit of the Spirit that brings joy and peace will also be the power of your hope. So that hope will overflow. It's not hope in yourself. It's not hope that things will get better. It's not hope that something will work out. It's hope by the power of the Spirit. We're busy trying to calm the chaos in our own power. We're looking to be strong enough in ourselves, trying to be all that we need in ourselves, but we keep falling short. Why? Because we can't bring about fulfillment apart from being filled by the Spirit. And hope cannot overflow apart from the power of the Spirit. So stop beating yourself up for not being able to produce peace and joy and hope, and realize that you weren't designed to produce it in your own strength anyway. You were designed to find fulfillment in the fullness of God and in the filling of the Spirit. You were designed to find it as a tree planted by living water finds its nourishment in the spring. Be filled, overflow. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Rooted and firmly established in God's love. May you begin to comprehend and understand how much you are loved by God. May you begin to understand God's love, the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus, the love of God in Christ Jesus that surpasses knowledge and becomes experience, to experience it, not just to know it cognitively. Yeah, I know God loves me, Jesus died, but to experience it in your spirit that, yes, you have by faith apprehended of the love of God in Christ Jesus, and it has begun to fill your heart, and it has begun to produce peace and joy and hope in you, and it overflows in others, and it overflows in you, and you find purpose and hope and life and the filling of God. To know God, filled with His fullness, filled with every good gift the Father has for His children. He invites us to fullness. He invites us back to our purpose. To know God, to be known by God, to live in the fullness of His love. Fullness. God wants you to be filled. Oftentimes we think of being filled with the Spirit simply as the emotional response to a touching of God. God doesn't want just the emotional response when He fills you. He wants the overflow in your life as you leave. He wants peace and joy to overflow and hope in you. He wants obedience and surrender. He wants you to be like that tree planted by rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit and it doesn't wither. Because it's planted. When the storms come, its roots are deep. It's planted and it grows and it produces fruit. Fruit that leads to joy and life and purpose. The fruit of the Spirit evident in your life. Because you're filled with the Spirit. Because you're filled with the Spirit. So we'll tell you something, church. The greatest marker that you've been filled by the Spirit is not how loud you shout or how much you speak in tongues. It's how you live and let the fruit of the Spirit be produced in your life. The initial evidence of the Spirit is God confirming to you that you have been filled. The evidence to everybody else is your life. That confirmation, speaking in tongues, is that initial evidence. That's confirmation in your heart. But if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm just a noisy gong and a clashing cymbal. God wants you to be filled. Filled to overflowing with all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word today. Lord, fill us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit to overflow. Pour your Spirit on this people. Fill this church to overflow. Fill our hearts to overflow. You are good and you are faithful. Heads bowed, your eyes closed. You say, Pastor Brock, I want to be filled to overflowing. If that's you, just slip your hand up right where you're at. Amen. 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 I want to be filled to overflowing. Lord, right now, I pray for these people that have raised their hands. I pray right now, God, that you would begin to do even greater work, that they would begin to just be able to understand and grasp and hold and experience how great the love of God is in Christ Jesus, and that it would begin to just continue to form and transform them. Pour your Spirit on your people. If there's anyone that wants prayer specifically, I want you to know right now you have an opportunity to come. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor Brock, I want you to pray for me this morning specifically. I want you to agree with me in prayer. If that's you this morning, I'll give you just a moment. Lord, I thank you for your goodness today, for your word, and for your presence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be in prayer for our 11 o'clock service. I pray that you have a great Sunday school hour. And I know God is going to speak and move, and he's already doing so. And God bless you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. God bless you.
Galaxies of glory, traces of your grace, all created.